Welcome to the Highway Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you today.
Myself, hey, it's wonderful to be here. Thanks for the invitation, Pastor David and Pastor Claire. That light's straight in my face. I can't see you. Such a good-looking bunch. I feel at home here, not just because it's Highway and I'm part of Highway, but I feel at home with my brothers and sisters, okay? And if you're new here and you're new to the, and you're seeking, please just feel at home with us. G'day, fella. Hello there. There's so many people I know. This is Palm Sunday. This is Welcome to Easter. Yes. Now, you're thinking Easter's next week. Actually, Easter starts now. This is Palm Sunday is the start of what Christians all over the world call Holy Week.
Right.
And it is probably the most, this next 7 days is probably the most important 7 days in recorded human history. Just let that sink in. Just not the Christian church's history, but world history. Palm Sunday narrative, which is in your Bibles, which is in all four Gospels. It's in, Em's already preached half my sermon, which is really good. And the word today that we bring you is the word peace. There is a sense of the Holy Spirit saying peace, peace unto you. Peace. I pray peace. As I teach this morning, I pray that God would impart, and He is imparting, Holy Spirit is imparting peace to us. So we're going to have a quick look at what it meant then and what it means today in terms of Palm Sunday. I've chosen as my text the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 11, verse 1 to 10. I'm going to read it and we're going to have a look at it. As they approached Jerusalem, this is Jesus and his disciples, and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' The Lord, you say to them, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back shortly to you.'" A borrowed donkey. It's a borrowed donkey. They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at the doorway. As they untied it, some people said, "Hey, why are you doing this?" And they said, "The Lord needs it." They answered, and the people brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it. He sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches, palm branches, they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name." I always feel like I want to sing that song, you know. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The singing preacher, that's what I'm going to be. If I'm not already. "Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David, and Hosanna in the highest heaven." Now, just like in the movies when the scene starts and it says, "One week earlier." I'm going to go back 1 week earlier. Is that okay? Because I'm an historian and that's how I think in a chronological way. 1 week earlier, it starts in Mark 11 as they approached Jerusalem. Where had they been? Well, Jesus and his disciples had actually been in the Galilee region for the last couple of months, around the town of Nazareth, which was and is Jesus' hometown. Jesus wasn't a native to Jerusalem at all. He just visited the place from time to time. So Jesus and his disciples were in Nazareth, and they came and they made the last journey back into Jerusalem. It's 148 kilometers, and they walked it. I looked at my Google Maps last night. It said it would take 33 hours. So he and disciples took 2 or 3 days to walk. In a way, he'd never walked back before. He walked on the west side of the Jordan through what we call now the Palestinian-held territories of the West Bank and into Bethany. That's the week before. And in Bethany, Jesus did maybe the most famous and most powerful miracle that he ever did. He raised the dead. Oh, hallelujah. He raised the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He came to town. His sister said, "Jesus, if only you had been here. If only you had been here while Lazarus, if only you had been here, he'd be okay." But he's dead 4 days. Actually, the King James Version has this wonderful phrase, and it says, "By this time he stinketh." What a wonderful phrase. Really. I mean, the guy's dead 4 days. It's no like air conditioning, folks. Like, he's not in one of those little air-conditioned little shirts you pull out on CSI. He's been dead 4 days. He stinketh. And Martha says to Jesus, Jesus, we know if you had been here, he would have been all right. And Jesus says, he will live again. He will rise again. And she says, of course he will, yada, 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 in the afterlife. And it says at that moment, Jesus wept. He cried. She never understood. No one understands. Jesus walks up to the tomb, and in the King James Version, it says, come forth. But really, he says, he calls out to the tomb and says, Lazarus, Lazarus, come here. And the guy walks. And TikTok goes off. TikTok is just going mad. Now, I'm saying this because this is a couple of days before Passover. TikTok's just gone mad. The guy dead 4 days gets raised in the town, which is literally an hour's walk from Jerusalem. It's all over the place. So Jesus now comes into what we call the Passover week or Holy Week. It's the largest Jewish festival that ever is. Historians tell us that, while I'm being conservative, somewhere Jerusalem goes 3 to 5 times its normal population during Passover week. It is just maniac. It's like Easter and Christmas, really. And Jesus is about to enter Jerusalem for the very last time. No longer is he just a prophet or a teacher. He's now welcomed as a king. And the words Hosanna, which Em referred to before, this is the only time the word Hosanna is used in the whole Bible. And it means save us, deliver us, we pray. People spread their cloaks on the road for the king. And a cloak to a first century Middle East person was a very important thing. It wasn't just, I'll chuck my shirt off or my jacket off and I'll stick it in the road. A cloak represented who you were. If you were a blind beggar, you wore a beggar's cloak. If you were a priest, you wore a priest's cloak. If you were a tradesman, you were known by your cloak. It's a very important document. And they threw this on the dirt and dusty streets of Jerusalem so that the king, on his donkey, didn't ever need to get his feet dirty. And then the palm branches were waved. That's why we have Palm Sunday, palm branches. And they were waved. And they were also put on the road, the dusty road. Now, around these parts, you can grab a palm branch within 50 metres of this place. But in Jerusalem, palm branches were actually very hard to get. They just didn't have them just sitting by the side of the road. They had to spend some time going and cut those things down. There's a very clear expectation from the people as Jesus walks into Jerusalem, not walks on his donkey, even the disciples, that Jesus will be the king that releases them from Roman occupation. Jesus will be the king who releases them from King Herod, who's not even a Jew. They were ruled by a king who wasn't even a Jewish king, and then they were under the occupation of a Roman army, that's what they wanted. Why were they thinking this? Why do people think that Jesus is going to ride in and he's going to overthrow the Roman government? Well, think about it. This is Passover week. And Passover celebrates the miraculous release, and historians tell us, of 358 years of Egyptian slavery. 358 years of being under slavery. Imagine us today, and I've done the calculation because maths is my thing. Imagine that we've been under slavery since the year 1666, which happens to be the Great Fire of London. Just imagine that. So when this guy they heard on TikTok that's raising people from the dead and doing all these things in Nazareth, they're thinking, this is the guy who's going to come and release us from this tyranny of Roman occupation. But of course, the Passover is, of course, when there were 358 years and God sent Moses, and Moses sent the plagues that God used. Remember the frogs, remember that? The locust, water turning into blood. And the last plague was the angel of death, where every Israeli, every Jewish family had to kill a spotless lamb, take its blood, put it over the post of the door. And when the angel of death went over, if it saw the blood, it passed over. That's why we call it Passover. And if it didn't, the firstborn of every family died. And they thought this was the guy who was going to do that to the Romans. But he is not about to become an earthly king. His purpose is far greater than that. He said in John 18:36, he said this. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. In fact, only a few months earlier, he physically escaped from a crowd who were trying to take him by force to make him king. Jesus never wanted to be king here on earth. Jesus' kingdom is of another kingdom. And of course, Jesus rides in on a donkey. Donkey. We're all a trek, donkey. The only time he's recorded in any scripture of riding an animal is here. Only time it speaks in the scripture. He always walks, it would seem. And he very deliberately chooses a donkey. Kings who are about to conquer and take over nations ride in with war horses and columns of soldiers. Jesus rides in himself, sitting on a baby donkey. Because he has already conquered. He is already victorious. As Jem said this morning, that wonderful prophecy in Zechariah 9:9, which was written in 518 BC during the Babylonian captivity. 500 years before this says this. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Sorry. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey. This was prophecy. And in Philippians 2, verse 7 to 8, rather, he, speaking of Jesus, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even the death of the cross. So these next 7 days are the days of Holy Week. I'm going to go through them because every day has a meaning. And every day has a meaning for us in our Christian walk, every 7 days of the Holy Week. Let's just go through them now. I haven't put those on the screens. If you want to take notes, fine. First, of course, is Palm Sunday. Today, which is Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It's the fulfillment of prophecy, and it's the beginning of the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. For us, it's the day that he enters our life. It's the day that we recognize him as King and Savior. Our eyes are open. He has come to our attention. That is Palm Sunday. Jesus comes into our world, into our attention. Now, the Monday of Holy Week is when Jesus cleansed the temple. When he went to the temple and he overturned the tables and he said, "You've made my house of prayer a den of robbers." That happened on Monday. He also cursed the fig tree on Monday. They came back a half an hour later and the fig tree was dead. What does this speak about? It speaks about the purity and the sanctity of God's house. For us, it talks about Jesus cleansing us, renewing us, restoring our soul as we go through repentance and baptism. It's a cleansing. We come to God, we think, oh, it's magnificent. It's all exciting. Monday's about, oh, a few home truths. Tuesday of the week is when we have what we call the Olivet Discourse. It was called the Olivet Discourse because Jesus took his disciples and his disciples only up to the Mount of Olives in the single longest narrative in the New Testament. And he talks to them about the future. He speaks to his people, not the crowd, but his disciples who don't even believe he's going to die yet. He talks to them about the truth and the future. He was preparing his disciples for what was to come. And for us, we start to learn on Tuesday to hear God's voice. We get to understand truth and we get spiritual insights. Wednesday of Holy Week is called Spy Wednesday because that's when Judas went to the high priest and for 30 pieces of silver betrayed Jesus. Judas didn't seem to understand. For us, it's the middle of the week. It's hump day. We face temptation. Do we live for ourselves? Do we live for him? Is it our agenda? Is he simply along for the ride on our journey? Or are we along for the ride on his? It's a bit like that Matthew 6, the parable of the sower and the seed, when the seed goes out. And all those soils receive the seed. It's like the Wednesday is when those thorns come up. That's Holy Wednesday. Now, Maundy Thursday is called Maundy Thursday around the world. It's Maundy from an old Latin word that means mandate. A lot happens on Holy Thursday. It is the Last Supper. Jesus and the Passover. It is when Jesus washes the disciples' feet. It's when Jesus goes, and the disciples go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And it's where Judas comes into the garden with the Roman soldiers and arrests Jesus. This is a big day. It establishes the importance of communion. For us, we understand commission from God. We understand the humility of ministry. If you're ever the minister of the gospel, preach the gospel. You've got to understand Holy Week. You've got to understand what that Jesus went through. There was like sweat of blood. We don't understand that, nor are we required to go through that. But that was Thursday. Friday. Wow, Friday. Good Friday. Hey, that's in what, 5 days' time? The crucifixion and the death of Jesus. The atonement of sins through Jesus' sacrifice. Hey, here's a thought. At 3 p.m. on Friday, the high priest at Passover offers up a spotless lamb to God for the sins of the nation of Israel. Everyone does in Passover week. Everyone gets a lamb, every family. And they, even in cultures now, the Greek culture, if you're Greek, you have lamb at Easter. That's for that reason. And other Orthodox religions. Actually, a lot of Orthodox churches, a lot of mainstream churches do Holy Week a lot better than we do, to be honest, right? But that's all right. Bless them. So everyone had a lamb for Passover. Every family. But the high priest got a spotless lamb. He would carry it around his shoulders. Have you seen those pictures or paintings of Jesus carrying a lamb on his shoulders? It's because the high priest did. Because it was a spotless lamb. It was the pick of the pick. Pick of the best. And he didn't want it to even get its little toes dirty. And he would sacrifice that lamb at 3 p.m. on the Friday before the Sabbath of Passover. You know when Jesus died? 3 p.m. They had to get him die because they didn't want to have him there on the Sabbath. So Jesus, as the spotless lamb, offered himself up as the great high priest, offered himself as a spotless lamb for God for the sins of the whole world, for you and for me. On Good Friday, we accept that he died for us, for our sins, and in our place, we die for ourselves. We've got Holy Saturday, which is called Black Saturday. Or Black Sabbath, that's where the name came from. Aussie, Osborne. Black Saturday. What an amazing day. Jesus' body is in the tomb. Jesus is dead. Jesus died. It's important to note, Jesus actually died. He didn't sort of just stay alive. Jesus died. He went into a tomb. And Saturday is the importance of a day of prayer. It's about reflection, about waiting for us. It's waiting for God's promises, for his deliverance, for his power. And sometimes we can't see what Sunday is going to be like. Looking back, we think, oh yeah, that was next day. Well, they didn't know that. His mother didn't know that. His disciples didn't know that. His brothers didn't know that. Although he had told them, they still didn't know that. And then we get to Easter Sunday, which we're going to celebrate in 7 days' time. Easter Sunday, I'll state now, is the greatest day that's ever been in the history of this planet. Resurrection of Jesus. He lives forever, and it says, the scripture says, he forever makes intercession for us, or forever he pleads on our behalf. Forever he's looking out for us. It's victory over sin and death. It's the foundation of the Christian church. There would be no church without the resurrection. If Jesus never was resurrected, there would be no Christian church. There'd be a little footnote in history saying this guy walked around in first century sort of Palestine and he was a good teacher and some people followed him. The disciples didn't write these books of the Bible and be martyred all over the earth because they figured, oh, Jesus died. Yeah, I remember what he told us. Yeah, that was good stuff. They didn't do that. They're dumb like us. Why did they go into countries? Why did they preach the Gospels? When they all ran away, when he's crucified, let's face it, they all took off, all went fishing. It's because they met the risen Christ. They met Jesus after he died.
It's like a dirt moment, but it's the truth. It's what separates us, to be frank, if I was honest, every other religion there is. You know, who died for you? Maybe who rose for you? 2 points as I finish. Have we got scones here? We can do scones. But the first 2 points are important. I've only got two. I always have three. I always have 3 points. Maybe I'm a traditional preacher, but I always have three. I couldn't find three, Michelle. I just couldn't find three. And it irritated me. No end. Because I like me 3 points. But maybe God's speaking to me. Number one, Jesus gives us the victory. The palm branch actually represents victory. When the people shouted, Hosanna, they were hailing Christ as an earthly king, about to be victorious over the Roman occupation. But God had a different plan. Not just to rescue Israel, but to save the world. Victory on a global, eternal scale, to save you, to save me. Palm Sunday reminds us that the reign of Christ is far greater than any person's mind can ever conceive or plan. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. No eye hath seen. We all know the scripture of being church. No ear has heard. No human mind can ever conceive the things that God has prepared for those who love him. I've got two main points this morning. I'm about to come to one of them. God has the ultimate plan of sending his son to fight the battle over death. This is the greatness of why we celebrate this week. We can be free of death because of Christ's ultimate sacrifice. We can live forever because he broke the barrier of death for us. Now, there's a scripture here Montana's going to put up in John 11. I'm using the Living Bible because I love the translation. This is Jesus speaking to Martha, right? Before he brings Lazarus back to life. So understand that context. Martha goes, if you're only here, Jesus, 4 days ago, none of this would have happened. And Jesus says this to Martha. Jesus told her, I am the one who raises the dead and gives them life again. Anyone who believes in me, even though he dies like anyone else, shall live again. He is given eternal life for believing in me, and he shall never perish. Do you believe this, Martha? She went, oh, yes, Lord, he'll be there in the resurrection. And then he goes and I'm going to read the scripture again, and I've just changed some pronouns. That's all very fashionable, changing pronouns these days, I believe. But I haven't got the integrity of scripture here. I haven't mucked around with it, I pray and trust. But I want to read you this very carefully. I'm rereading this scripture, just wording it a fraction differently. Jesus tells you and me, I am the one who raises the dead and gives them life again. If you believe in me, even though you will die, and I will die like anyone else, you shall live again. You are given eternal life for believing in me. And you shall never perish. Do you believe this? These aren't the words of even a Peter or a Paul or a writer. These are the recorded words of Jesus through the Gospels. And this struck me as I'm not scared of death. I don't like the dying bit so much. But death, even through this COVID thing where people get, I'm going, what are you worried about? And people say, worried about dying. Nah, can't be it. Well, it was, and I get that. It's not that I'm not poking fun at people here. I'm just saying, I pray that God speaks so deeply in your life that you're no longer afraid of death. Because the fear of death, need to get over that sucker. Last point, peace. Em's prayer at the end of communion was wonderful. And this is my main point today for you, brothers and sisters, and I mean that in the widest term of anyone who's here today with me. The donkey that Jesus rides in symbolizes peace. That scripture. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. Jesus has only recorded the cry twice, and he's done it in 3 days. First, over Lazarus and Martha's response. And secondly, as he comes in Jerusalem, and he says, oh, how I wanted to give you. In another scripture, it says how I wanted to embrace you like a mother hen embraces her chicks. How I wanted to give you peace. He's riding a donkey, not because he wants to win a battle, but rather he's already won it. I'm thinking of Isaiah 9:6. For unto us, we do this at Christmas time, but what a great time at Easter. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. There's this wonderful verse in Psalm 85 by the psalmist. I'm going to once again read the King James Version. And it's speaking about the future shaver. Often in life we have mercy people and we have truth people. You know that? There's mercy people who just love everyone and just want their... And then there's truth people who say, well, that's just the truth and that's the way it is. The psalmist writes this of Jesus. Mercy and truth are met together in him. Jesus wasn't all mercy. And he wasn't all truth. In him, mercy and truth were met together. It says that righteousness and peace have kissed each other. What a wonderful symbol. That the righteousness of God and the peace he gives have actually kissed in an intimate embrace. His plan, here's the thing, might offend some people. His plan is not for world peace. Now, if you're a Miss World or Miss Universe contestant this morning, I'm very sorry. But world peace is not God's plan. He didn't come to bring peace to the world. It doesn't say that anywhere. In fact, in Matthew 10, Jesus says, once again, his words, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. That's another sermon. His plan, his desire is to give you peace. In John 14, Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace, listen, I give it to you. I do not give you as the world gives. The world thinks of peace in a different way. The world thinks peace is, I can just remember my mother saying, all I need is a bit of peace and quiet from you kids. It's not that peace. It's not the peace that says, give me half an hour to go read a book, have a cigarette, cup of coffee. It's not the peace. It's the peace that in Paul writes in Philippians, the peace that passes all understanding. That's the peace he gives. That's the peace Em prayed this morning. That's the peace that I want to pray for you about this morning. That peace which cuts beyond all this and goes there. That's the peace that says, yep, I'm a sinner. That's the peace that says, yep, I'm not perfect. That's the peace that says, but I know. You know what? Jesus also said then, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. If you're in any situation where you do things out of fear or someone's making you do things out of fear, it's not God's plan for you. Here's the thing. The fact is that many of the people shouting Hosanna on Palm Sunday were the same people crying crucify him on Friday. Let me say that again. Many of the people shouting Hosanna in Jerusalem on Sunday were the same people who were crying crucify him on the Friday. What makes the difference? One mob saw him as a king who was coming to release them, to set them free, to answer their problems. The others saw him as a saviour, as a Lord. This morning, at the start of Holy Week, at the start of Easter, we see him as a saviour. And for the myriad of stories which are in this room about how God imparted peace into your life, how your eyes were opened, there's more stories to be filled. I said before, as I close, about the fear of death. There are people who may be genuinely afraid of dying or death. As I said, I'm not too keen on the dying bit. I could fast forward that. But death, Jesus said, I'm going to live forever. If he's lied about that, he's lied about everything else I've ever read. And I believe everything else I've ever read and what he's ever told me in my years on this earth, that he's been so gracious, so patient, so loving. Is he going to throw me a, spin me a lie on that one? So this morning, we won't call this an altar call in the real sense, but there may be two groups of people here today. Firstly, you might be someone who goes, wow, never heard of this stuff before, or I haven't really engaged in this sort of thing. And what this bloke, who you probably don't know from somewhere else, has really spoken to my spirit. Really, I get it. I sort of get it. I don't fully understand it, but I want to somehow embrace the truth of what he's speaking. And if that's you today, maybe I'm going to ask every eye closed, every head bowed. Just for, if that's you today, I'm not going to, actually, at this stage, I'm not going to drag you out the front, but I wonder if that's you. If you're saying, hey, what is required to know peace of Jesus? And what's required to not know death is to accept him. Very clearly, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. There might be different paths that lead to Jesus. I'm all for that. Absolutely. But there's only one gate, and that's him. If there's anyone in this room who says, you know what, Greg? I'm going to put up my hand because I want to acknowledge that I need Jesus. Amen. I need him. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Put your hand and say, I need Jesus this morning. I don't know what. I don't even know what I'm doing in one sense, but I know I'm responding to something deep within my spirit. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. There's another group this morning. If you are afraid of death, and once again, I'm going to have every eye closed. I'm not going to let anyone else see. This is genuine. Because I really want, if that's your case, you might be a Christian here. I'm not judging you. I want the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, please impart something which is beyond our understanding, which is supernatural. This is supernatural. It's quite natural to be afraid of death, I figure. If that's you, I want to raise your hand because I want to afterwards pray for you, not publicly. Is anyone in this room? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, I pray peace. The great Prince of Peace. Oh, and Paul wrote in Philippians, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. And the peace, which passes all understanding, you don't get it. It just passes. You go, why have you got the peace? Don't know, I just got it. Amen. 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 Thank you. Well, there's people who raised their hand. I'm going to ask Dave, Pastor Dave and Pastor Claire to get around and to just pray with you. Thank you for having me.
We hoped you loved that message. If you want any more information about us, head to highway.com.au.